Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Never know how they're going to impact someone's life and touch them. So we are a culture of honor. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Grab your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 10, and stand to your feet with me for the reading of God's word. We're going to look at a story in the life of Jesus this morning in the book of Mark chapter 10. We're going to read verses 46 through 52. We like to stand in honor of the reading of the word, and so that's what we're doing this morning as we stand with Bible in hand. Hopefully you've brought your Bible. If not, I believe we can try to follow along on the screens. Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through verse 52. It reads as such. Now when they came to Jericho, as he, speaking of Jesus, went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And he, throwing aside his garment, rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? Could you imagine Jesus asking you that question? What do you want me to do for you? There's a lot of people that they wouldn't quite know how to answer that question. There's a lot of people that may give the wrong answer to that question. But listen what he said. Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received sight and followed Jesus on the road. Let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you for your word. And as we look to it today, I ask that you would instruct us and guide us in it, Father. We believe that it's perfect. We believe that it's true. And I pray that you would anoint me as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ to speak it in clarity and in truth. We never want to mix your word with our thoughts, but we simply want to align ourselves with what you're saying and what you're doing. I pray that it would minister to each and every heart that hears it today and anyone that will listen to it later in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. One of my favorite exchanges in all of Scripture is this story where we find a man by the name of blind Bartimaeus, and he receives his sight from Jesus. And so what's happening is Jesus is passing through Jericho, and he's actually on his way to Jerusalem to make his triumphal entry. As you keep reading through the book of Mark, you'll find that Jesus goes through Jericho to Bethany, and he draws near to Jerusalem so that he can enter into Jerusalem as the triumphant one and make his procession there. And in a few weeks, it's amazing to think that we're already going to be in that time of year when we believe that Jesus came through, and then we're going to be moving into Palm Sunday and Easter and celebrating everything that Jesus Christ has done for us. But as Jesus is passing through, the Bible says there's a multitude of people following him. That word multitude, it symbolizes, obviously, he's got a huge crowd. He's got an entourage following him. But off to the side of the road, there's one single man that is sitting there that is begging, that we have come to know as blind Bartimaeus. Even in the scripture that we just read, the scripture identifies him and calls him not Bartimaeus, but blind Bartimaeus, okay? This is literally his name. This is his identity. This is who he is. So this guy's name is literally his disability. His name is literally his condition. What people see him as, his shortcomings, his failures, his flaws, what he can't change about himself, the things that are wrong, that are bad, that everybody notices, he has literally been named and labeled by what he can't do that everybody else can do. So he's known by his condition, and even his name is Bartimaeus. Now, if you know about Greek and the way it was written, you know that the word bar simply means son of. That's why Peter is known as Peter Bar-Jonah. That means he was Peter, the son of Jonah. And so Bartimaeus is literally Bar, son of Timaeus, meaning not only is he identified by his condition and his weakness, but he is identified only as Timaeus's boy. He doesn't even have a name. He has no identity. He has no confidence in who he's called to be. And he is sitting by the side of the road begging, known as blind Timaeus's boy. Nobody recognizes the value or the worth that's inside of him. He doesn't even have his own name, right? He's living in the midst of an identity crisis. Now, we call an identity crisis or a midlife crisis when, you know, someone that's in their 50s all of a sudden buys a sports car and starts dyeing their hair and, you know, they try to get, you know, a new girlfriend or whatever. But what I think we don't realize is 99% of people actually live in the middle of identity crisis. We may not be known as blind Bartimaeus sitting on the side of the road, but 99% of us don't actually know who we are in Christ. We don't realize that we're co-heirs with the Son of the living God who is seated at the right hand of the Father, but he has given us a helper in the Holy Spirit. We don't realize the authority that we have. We think that we're just weak and useless and I'm just going to try to make it through life and try to be a good person. No, you have a call and a purpose and a plan from God for your life, but what's the problem is we haven't had the experience or the encounter that Bartimaeus had on the side of the road that changed his life forever. I wonder how many of us have allowed our weaknesses to become our identity. How many of us have allowed the things that are shortcomings in our life to define us? And that's just who we think we are. That's who everybody thinks we are. How many times have we been restricted by what others say or think about us? If we live life differently based on what others are going to think, we're living in an identity crisis. Because we're called to live according to what God says about us, what God believes about us, what God has created us for. It's like when Jesus was baptized and the heavens opened and the Spirit descended like a dove, God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Jesus hadn't turned water into wine yet. Jesus hadn't raised anybody from the dead. He hadn't multiplied any food, but God still said, "I'm pleased in him." He established and affirmed the identity. Even Jesus needed his identity to be affirmed by the Father. And we all live lives that we need and want to know what is our identity. Listen, identity theft is huge in the world that we live in. Did you realize that over 24,000 people a day have their identity compromised in the United States alone? 24,000 people have their identity stolen a day in the United States. And while that is a headache and terribly inconvenient and devastating for many people, I wonder how many people's identity, their spiritual identity, their soul is being sold and torment, or is being stolen, and they're being tormented by the enemy on a daily basis, and they have no idea who they are. They have no idea who God has called them to be, what he's called them to do. And we're allowing it to be stolen. And actually, in essence, some people are just giving their identity away. This is not even being stolen. They're just giving it to by allowing the opinion of others or allowing the falling short of their life to mess up who they are and who they think that they are. And we don't realize that one moment in the presence of Jesus can change our life forever. One moment in just being touched by him can change him. And I want you to know today, identity is not a topic that is confined to adolescence. We think, oh, you should talk to the teenagers about identity. They're really struggling. Listen, you're struggling with identity too. I'm struggling with identity. We all, from the time we're born till the time that we die, we have need of knowing our identity. Who am I? What was I made for? Why am I here? Why is it that when we become adults, we think that we no longer struggle with who we are? We still struggle and need to know with who we are, who God has called us to be. Everyone wants to know, what's my purpose? What's my calling? Why am I here? It's why people search and search and search and want to know. So, but most people in the world, they're allowing their coworkers, their spouse, total strangers to label them or define them, just like blind Bartimaeus, by their weaknesses, their shortcomings, their flaws, their disabilities, or their condition. But I want you to know, God didn't call this man blind Bartimaeus. People called him blind Bartimaeus. Because God doesn't look as man looks. Man looks at the outward appearance. Man may see someone that's blind. God sees someone that needs a miracle. Okay? So God looks at it completely different. God doesn't see you like the world sees you. God doesn't look at you like everybody else looks at you. He sees your past, your present, and your future. And he knows who he has called you to be. In fact, I love in the book of Jeremiah where it says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and an expected end. And just one touch from the man Jesus Christ can change a lifetime of identity crisis. One moment at his feet can transform you from where you shouldn't be to where you were created to be. And that's what I want to see happen in your life today. What I love, though, about Bartimaeus is his passion. He didn't allow his condition, his flaws, his shortcomings, or the identity that he had taken on through what others had said or seen or known about him, or even the reality that was true that he was blind. He didn't let that keep him back from getting close to Jesus. I love the passion of this man. And in fact, that's one of our words for this year that Pastor Madison declared earlier, is the year passion. And the word of God, if you search it out, you'll find that the Bible would actually call that word passion zeal. Okay, and zeal means to bubble up or to fervently heat up with desire. Something inside of Bartimaeus was ignited with passion. There was something that said, I hear Jesus is coming. I've heard what he's done for others. I believe he can do it for me. And there was something ignited in him, a desire to get to Jesus. It didn't matter what anybody else thought about him or said about him. He showed that when they tried to keep him quiet and he didn't let them silence him. He said, I am going to get to Jesus. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care what they try to do to me. I'm going to get to the one that I believe can change my identity, change what's missing in my life, change what I need healing from. And I want you to know, church, the only person that can heal you is Jesus Christ. The only person that can change you from depression to being a person full of happiness is Jesus. The only person that can heal ailments and diseases in your life is Jesus Christ. And don't let anything hinder you or keep you from getting to him. Not a better job, not what your family says about you, not what your friends think about you. I want to be like Bartimaeus and say, I don't care what y'all think. I'm going to get louder and more excited because if anything is going to get me to where I need to be, it's knowing and encountering Jesus Christ. So something inside of him was ignited with passion. He didn't care what other people thought. But you know why so many people, the church included, and it's amazing to me when preachers talk about things, we always immediately want to say, well, yeah, that's the world. No, this is in the church too. You know why so many people, the church included, live bound to things? Or bound to their depression, bound to their sickness, bound to their past. It's because they don't want to be free. You're not free. And it's amazing that the Holy Spirit moved in this way this morning during the ministry time. The only reason you're not free is because you don't want to be free. If you're bound to depression, if you're bound to anxiety, if you're bound to an addiction, if you are bound to pornography, if you are bound to drugs or alcohol, the only reason you're not free is because you haven't decided, I want to be free. Or there are things that you want and value above freedom. You're choosing this condition over freedom. Because you see, Bartimaeus, he could have sat on the road and gone, they're right. I should probably just shut up. And he would have stayed in his blindness. But he chose. How do I know that you're not free simply because you don't want to be free? Because freedom has already been purchased by the cross. When Jesus died, he did not die for partial freedom. He does not offer partial freedom. He doesn't offer parole, meaning you're released only to a certain extent. Jesus offers total pardons. Because the book of Galatians that I quoted to you earlier, you can go look it up in chapter 5 and verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Not will set us free. He has set us free. When Jesus died on the cross, freedom was purchased for you. And all you have to do is say, I want it. I receive it, and I'm not going to let anything, my addiction, my friends, my failures, my family, my own fleshly desires, I'm not going to let anything hinder me or keep me from becoming free. It's past tense. The work of the cross was a complete and a finished work. But sometimes, listen to this, we would rather be accepted than be free. That's why we refused to come to the altar and respond to the move of God. That's why we refuse to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Because, you see, Bartimaeus was already rejected by his culture. He was already ostracized. He had to sit by the side of the road and beg. And so he just decided, if they're going to push me to the side anyways, I'm not going to try to fit in with them and be accepted. I'm going to cry out and say, Jesus, I want you to have mercy on me. And sometimes we stay bound because we're afraid of what other people are going to think about us. What are they going to think if I go to the altar? What are they going to think if I raise my hands? What are they going to think if I shout? What are they going to think if I, you know, go all out for Jesus? Well, what they think might be exactly what's keeping you bound. Their thoughts, their feelings, and you know what I've come to realize in my life the more I mature? People don't think about me as much as I think they think about me. The older you get, you just realize, like when you're young and you're in high school and then you're in college and you're growing up, you're all worried about what everybody's thinking about you. And the older you get, you start to realize, they're not thinking about me. I was thinking about them thinking about me, and that kept me from actually being me. And that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. So you know what? I'm not going to choose to be bound by what other people think about me. But sometimes we'd rather be cool than be free, right? Don't think that trying to be cool goes away when you graduate high school. Y'all quit fooling yourself, right? You know you still want to be cool deep down inside. We would rather fit in socially. We'd rather fit into the community, fit in our jobs. We'd rather fit in with the people that we know, that we've known for years, or we'd rather keep our dignity intact than be free. I will say this, sometimes freedom will cost you your dignity. Bartimaeus said, you know what? I'm tired of this. I'm tired of being bound to this condition. I'm tired of being stuck on the side of the road begging. My dignity may stay intact if I stay here, but so will my blindness. So will my condition. And somewhere we've got to decide, you know what? I'm tired of being bound by things in my life. I'm tired of being bound by substances. I'm tired of being bound by the thoughts of others. I'm tired of being bound by what they said about me or what they didn't do to me. I want to be free. But the first step to freedom is always admission. Anytime I've ever dealt with someone that they need freedom in their life, if they cannot admit that they need freedom, they will never be free. The first step to freedom is always admission. You must admit, I need freedom. Admit, what all you're doing is admitting, I'm not perfect. And no one's perfect, so you're not admitting anything that nobody else can lay claim to that you think that they're better or worse or you're better or worse than them. So, we're all imperfect. So why not just admit, I'm imperfect and I need freedom. But so often, we would rather sit silently in our blindness than cry out and receive our freedom. We'd rather sit on the side of the road and be quiet and be hushed and keep our dignity and keep our standing in the community and keep our condition and keep our hindrances in life. We'd rather come to church full of fear and leave the same way because it's just too embarrassing to go ask prayer for something like that. It's just too embarrassing to admit that I have a problem. Guess what? The person to your left and right have problems too. The person standing in front of you speaking today, I have problems. Why? Because we're all human. So let's get over the fact of thinking that we have to be perfect all the time and realize that maybe we need to take note from blind Bartimaeus, who became Bartimaeus, and no longer was he blind, but he was set free because somewhere he said, you know what? I'm not going to sit quiet anymore. I'm not going to keep my dignity intact. I'm not going to leave here. If Jesus is coming through, and listen, let me tell you, Jesus is here every single time that we come together. Why? Because he said, where two or more gathered in my name, I'll be in their midst. So if Jesus is here and you leave free, it's not because Jesus didn't want to set you free. It's because something inside of us would rather be accepted, be, you know, comfortable, than find the freedom that he's given to us. We'd rather leave bound by depression and bound by substances and hindrances and temptations, then come to the altar and say, I need some prayer. I need some help. I need some freedom. But Bartimaeus did not receive his freedom by sitting in silence. He cried out. His passion for freedom outweighed his desire to fit in. Somewhere he got fed up. You ever just been fed up? I've gotten fed up before. I say that with my children all the time, right? Because I'm a good Southern dad. Boys, I'm just about fed up with y'all, right? You ever said that before? Or maybe you've had that said to you before? I can just imagine Bartimaeus sitting over there going, you know what? I'm about fed up with being blind. I'm about fed up with being silent. I'm about fed up with being marked by what other people think of me. I'm about fed up with not having any vision. I'm about fed up with not being able to lead myself even to the side of the road. I got to grab somebody else's hand. I'm about fed up. It's like the old saying, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And when you finally get to the point where you realize my life is not what it should be and I'm not going to stay on that road. You know, we all act insane. Everyone knows the definition of insanity. What is it? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. But we all do it. We just stay in our same pattern. I'm just going to keep being this person. I'm going to keep doing these things. Eventually, somewhere you have to break the cycle and decide, I'm fed up. Enough is enough. So he heard Jesus was coming. And he cried out and he started saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And as we read, people tried to quiet him down. Listen to me. If you decide I'm going after Jesus 100%, I want to be free, I want to be saved, I want to be healed, I want to be delivered, I want to know my identity, there will always be people that will discourage your pursuit of Jesus. They might not do it with their words. They might do it with their eyes. They might do it with, they just stop contacting you, stop hanging out with you. They cut you off and they begin to ostracize you. Listen, if somebody puts you down with their words or their actions because of your pursuit of Jesus, you don't need them in your life. You may think you need them, but you only need to surround yourself with people that are urging you on to pursuing God inside of your life. I'm not saying you can't minister to those people. I'm not saying you can't love them. I'm not saying you can't invite them to church. I'm not saying you can't love on them. But you don't need them influencing you. You don't need them speaking into your life. And there will always be people, because I've noticed this, is sometimes it takes a long time for people to get fed up and decide and have the passion to actually cry out and go after Jesus. And then what happens is when we do, somebody tries to put us down or silence us and we stop there. Well, I tried and it didn't work. I don't want to lose a relationship with them. Well, would you rather have relationship with somebody that doesn't want you to get close to Jesus, or would you rather find out what Jesus can do for your life? So I love what Bartimaeus did. When they tried to tell him to calm down, he said, forget y'all. I'm going to get louder. You guys aren't my friends anyways, right? Like, you guys don't care about me. So take a note from Bartimaeus and just ignore them. He did the opposite. When they told him to chill, he cranked it up another level. He went another notch up. He became more undignified and he cried out all the more. But I love what the Bible says. It says that then Jesus stood still. I love this. He stopped in his tracks. Because when Bartimaeus cried for mercy, mercy stood still. When Bartimaeus cried for freedom, freedom stood still. When Bartimaeus cried for healing, healing personified stood still. When he called out for grace, grace stood still. No matter what you need to cry out to him for today, he has it and he will stop. He didn't pass him by. He also didn't put more distance between himself and Bartimaeus. He stopped, saying and symbolizing, I'm here. I'm ready. I'm willing. I want to touch your life. He stopped and he said, tell him to come. And the same people that had told him to be quiet are now saying, hey, be of good cheer, bud. Come on, hey, come on, Jesus is calling you. Listen, that's why you got to watch out for those people. Because the same people that will hate on you and put you down, then all of a sudden when things start going your way, will be the same people that will come back around and want to be right there with you when everything's going good. So realize that there's always that group of people. So Jesus says, call him. He stopped. Now, in verse 46, it says that Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. This was his occupation. This is what he did every single day of his life because he had no other option. But in verse 50, it says, and throwing aside his garment, he rose and he came to Jesus. I brought a visual aid today. I always love visual aids. The garment that Bartimaeus had was actually a government-issued garment, known in ancient Israel as a beggar's garment, okay? It was given by the government, and it allowed him to have legal right to sit on the side of the road and beg money from people. You could not entreat alms in Israel without a certified government-issued beggar's garment. You wouldn't receive anything. When people would come up to you, they would look, does he have a beggar's garment? Okay, that's his only way of getting by. We'll give him some money. But if you didn't have a beggar's garment issued by the government, you weren't going to get anything from anybody because it was their welfare program. Is the government said, I'll give you this and it will allow you to beg and you can have whatever you beg for, but if you don't have a certified beggar's garment, you're not getting anything from anybody because you need to get up and you need to go get a job and you need to provide for yourself without that beggar's garment. So he had this beggar's garment, and this is his license to beg for the necessities of life. It signified his livelihood. Without it, he had no way of eating. He had no way of buying clothes for himself. He had no way of surviving. But you know what this garment also recognized and identified was his identity. He was blind begging Bartimaeus. It was his identity. It was who he was. He wore it every single morning when he got dressed, because if he didn't put this on, he probably wasn't going to eat today. If he didn't put this on, people were just going to walk past him and completely ignore him. And could you imagine the solitude and the loneliness of already being blind, but then no one even speaks to you because they don't know you're blind? But this gave him some form of validation where people started to feel sorry for him. And so people would look at him and go, Bartimaeus, bless his heart, he's blind. Let's give him some money. Hey, Bartimaeus, how you doing today? So this recognized and symbolized his identity, who he was and who he had been for years and years and years. It gave him, this is what gave him the label, blind Bartimaeus. This is what made him the begging son of Timaeus, represented his identity. But when he heard Jesus called for him, passion and faith started pumping through every single part of his being. He got a tingle of feeling. He got something down in the depths of his heart. And when he heard Jesus called for him, passion and that faith and that desire for healing and for freedom and for deliverance was so much greater. And something came over him that he said, I don't need that anymore. What has symbolized is my license to beg. I don't need to beg anymore. Why? Because I'm about to be able to see. I don't need a government-issued garment anymore because I'm about to meet the one whose the government rests upon his shoulders, and he's going to set me free, and he's going to deliver me. And you don't realize what he was doing when he threw that away. He was saying, anything that I have, I'm throwing it away, and it's not going to keep me from getting to Jesus, because when I get to Jesus, it's useless because I can't beg if I'm not blind. And if I get to Jesus, I won't be blind anymore. I'll be set free. So I'm going to throw the garment over to the side because it's not going to hold me back, keep me back. I don't need it anymore. And what I'm saying to you today is anything that's holding you back from Jesus, you don't need it anymore. Anything that you think is comfortable and it's my provision, it's my safe place, it's just what I need to do, it's who I am. Not if it's not who he created you to be. Not if it's what man put on you. You see, what man puts on you, God says, no, I got something else I want to put on you. And there's an anointing for your life, but God says you've got to lose the garment. Lose the begging. Lose the feeling sorry for myself. Lose what man is trying to put on you so that you can live for who I've called you to be. He was saying, in faith, I don't need it anymore. You know why? Because if he believed he was truly going to stay blind, he never would have thrown that to the side. How do I know that? He couldn't have found it. But he believed, I'm going to have my sight. I'm going to be able to see. And so if I see, I don't need it. But if I don't see, I'm going to need that thing again, but guess what? I'm acting in faith. I'm throwing it away. I'll never see that thing again anyways. Whether I have my eyes open or whether I don't, I won't be seeing it. I won't be needing it anymore. My days of begging are over. My season of blindness is coming to an end. My life is about to change. Why? Because I'm about to come into the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It makes me think of the scripture in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, since we are also surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside. What did it say of Bartimaeus? He cast it aside. He took it a step further. The writer of Hebrews said, lay it aside. Bartimaeus said, forget laying it aside. I'm throwing it aside. I'm getting rid of that thing. He cast it aside. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. There's a difference between weight and sin. It's obvious that we should let go of our sin. But what about something that's just a weight? It's just holding you down. It's causing you to have to labor for things that he never intended you to labor for. That's why Jesus said, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. You know why? Because my burden is easy. My yoke is light. There are some things that you're carrying that are just too heavy for you. And all you got to do is lay it aside. He didn't say, do this, 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 and this, and then maybe I'll take it from you. And the problem is, so many times we want him to take it from us, and he's saying, you've got to let go of it. We want him to pry it out of our cold, dead hands because we want him to do it for us. And he's saying, all you got to do is lay it aside. What's holding you back from walking in the identity that he created you to walk in? What's keeping you from being everything that he's called you to be? But listen, this garment seems like a good thing, doesn't it? When you're blind, this is what you need for livelihood. It seems like a really good thing if it's your only option. But you've got another option. What you think is holding you down is actually holding you back. What you think is providing for you is actually enabling you to continue living bound when you need healing from God. So, yeah, it's a good option unless it keeps you from being free. Yeah, it's a good idea until it's time where Jesus says, tell him to come to me. And you decide, I'm going to throw it aside, and I'm not going to take it up anymore. It's going to be a step of faith. Listen to me. It won't be easy. Like I said, every time we make a big decision to go after God, something or someone will try to hinder your pursuit of God. But don't let him. So Bartimaeus, he didn't let them, but then he went a step further. He got rid of that. But so many times, we want, as I said earlier, God to take it from us. I've said it. You've probably said it. God, take this from me. And he's like, just lay it down. Why? Because he loves us enough to give us a choice. He will not do anything against our will. I truly believe God gave us the free will, the ability to choose between right and wrong. And so often we want God to go against his perfect plan and take things from us because we're unwilling to lay them down. He's saying, throw it to the side. Lay it down. Get rid of it. Choose today. I'm casting it aside. Maybe it's a substance. Maybe it's a fear. Maybe it's a dream. Maybe it's a relationship. I don't know what it is for you. But if it's keeping you begging and it's keeping you apart from what God has created you to be, you got to let go of it. Because listen, it's not helping you. It's hurting you. Maybe it's a weight. Maybe it's a sin. No matter what it is, get rid of it this morning. When Bartimaeus came to Jesus, he said, what do you want me to do for you? I want you to know today, there's nothing too hard for our God. With him, the impossible becomes possible. All things are possible. For Jesus, maybe it's physical, mental, emotional, financial, relational, and any other all that you can think of. Okay? He covers all of them. He checks every box. He can do it. And here's what I love about Jesus. He's no respecter of persons. He's not going to look at blind Bartimaeus and say, yeah, I'll heal you, and then not offer you the same exact opportunity. So Jesus is asking you today, what can I do for you? Don't you love it when you go to a restaurant and they ask you, what can I get you today? Or you go up to somewhere that has excellent customer service and they don't say, what do you want? They say, what can I do for you? What do you want me to do for you is what Jesus is asking to you today. And whatever you say, he can do it. He's not going to push you to the side, But I love blind Bartimaeus, who became Bartimaeus. His passion and his willingness to abandon his cloak of comfortability opened the door for him to walk in total freedom. Because he said, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. He laid hold and claimed, it's mine. This is my sight. I'm not asking you to give me somebody else's eyes. I'm not asking you to give me somebody else's dream. I'm not asking for somebody else's call. I'm a man that struggled with identity my entire life. I don't want somebody else's life. I don't want what somebody else has. I want my sight. Who did you create me to be? What did you create me to see? What eyes do you want me to have vision? Life had stolen what was rightfully his. And I'm sorry for people and all of us that have had things stolen from us. Every single one of us, life has stolen something from you. But life had stolen from Bartimaeus his vision, the vision that he needed to accomplish God's perfect plan for his life. And if God created you to walk in something, then it doesn't matter what's tried to rob you of it. He will restore it. He can and he will. So the question is, do you believe? Because what did Jesus say to him? He said, go your way. Your faith has made you well. There's the answer to your problem. You can ask anything, but ask according to your faith. He said, that I may receive my sight. And he said, go your way. Your faith has made you well. That word well means healed. So some translations literally write it out this way. Jesus said, go your way. Your faith has healed you. Your faith has made you well. It's your faith that made the transformation from being blind to having sight. And the Bible says immediately he received his sight. That word received means it was restored. I don't know what you've lost. I don't know what you've been coping without in life. I don't know what you've been hoping for and praying for, but I do know this, that Jesus is in this room this morning and he can restore anything the enemy has stolen from you. Anything you've given to him, anything you've lost, anything that's been robbed from you, the same one that healed blind Bartimaeus, the same one that virtue left his body and healed the woman with the issue of blood that Becky was talking about earlier, the same one that turned water into wine and fed the 5,000 is right here today. And your faith in him can make you well. He's here and he has the ability, I believe, to heal hurts. Nate, would you mind just grabbing my guitar and playing something? When Jesus starts down the road, I love this. It says that Bartimaeus followed them. He joined their company. What he started out as an ostracized, pushed aside, forgotten, silenced individual. And now he has a family. Now he has some group of people that are like, these are my people. So this, I didn't give you the title of the sermon until now. This is the title of the sermon. From blind and begging to believing and belonging. That's what he wants to do for every single person in this community, every single person in this room. Maybe you find yourself, I feel like I'm blind and I'm begging. I'm holding on to that beggar's cloak. I'm labeled, identified as a failure, as a drug addict, as an unfaithful person, as a cheater, as a liar, and I've allowed people to label me as that. But I believe that you can leave here this morning because he believed. Because Jesus said, your faith has made you well. He went from blind and begging to believing and belonging. I believe that that's the heart of God for every single person that would say, I want to come after him like blind Bartimaeus. Would you stand to your feet this morning? The outcast now belongs. No longer is he sitting on the side of the road by himself. He now has a family. He now has a future. He now has hope. He's now a part of something bigger than he is. What I want to do this morning is in a moment we're going to close the service, but I just want to open up the altar for ministry. If you're saying, you know what, I'm not going to let anything keep me from what God has for me. I need someone to pray with me. I need someone to stand in the gap with me. I need someone to lay hands on me. I need a touch from God this morning. And listen, I'm not God. Pastor Madison's not God. But we can pray to him with you and for you to believe that he can touch and change and transform your life just like he did for Bartimaeus. So I'm going to ask Pastor Madison to join me. And if you want prayer today, we're going to open up the altar in a moment. I'm going to release you and bless you. But if you would fellowship out in the foyer this morning, get your children. But if you need prayer in any shape, form, or fashion, I don't ever want you to leave this house having not gotten what you need from God. I don't want you to ever leave this house thinking, I wanted somebody to pray for me, but they never offered to pray with me. We're here. We want to minister to you. We want to love on you. We want to pray with you. And if you're saying, like blind Bartimaeus, you know what? Enough's enough. I'm fed up. I want a touch from God. I believe that you can receive a touch from God today. So if you would lift your hands all over this room. Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit that is here with us today, that you gave to us to keep us from being orphans, to lead and guide us into all truth. And I pray that right now, Holy Spirit, you would begin to search hearts and speak to people. God, identify the beggar's garments in our lives. God, identify what it is that we need to lay down and let go of that's hindering us or keeping us. Is it a person? Is it a thing? Is it a dream? Is it a plan? God, is it our own fear and insecurity? Whatever it is, I rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus, and I bind it, and I ask that you would allow every single person that is here today to leave ministered to, healed, freed, delivered, and made new in Jesus Christ. And so I just pray that you would do a mighty work amongst us today, God. We surrender to you in Jesus' name. Now, for those of you that need to get on the road, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you, lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you. And may you walk in the freedom that he has purchased for you. In Jesus' name, amen.